97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, as promised, on the Comcast Business Outline, my podcast partner, he is Steve Callis from Callis Remarks with myself and Steve. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Joe Stazak, the man, the myth, the legend. This is a true story. Driving rainstorm in New York yesterday. My boss, Janelle, who you know, very smart, very cool, has a big meeting in New York. We go to a Manhattan restaurant to have dinner afterwards. Walk into a place called Pulpette on 71st and Columbus. It's packed, driving rainstorm, L-shaped bar. We sit at the bar and have dinner. We're right near the two parts of the L. On the other side are a bunch of people who grew up in South Jersey.
All right, yeah.
And they're going... When my boss hears this, she goes, well, you know, this is Steve Callis. He's my sports editor. You know, he does a podcast with Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic. Every once in a while, he goes on, actually on 97 The Fanatic, ESPN Radio in Philly. And the guy, Rich, next to me goes, I know Joe Stazak. He's good. He's real good. And I look at the guy like, is this a Joe Stazak plant in New York? And he goes, another guy's there going, didn't he used to be on TV? And I'm like, yeah, he used to be on TV. He's really good. He knows his stuff. He's a walking history book. So we sit there for like 2 hours and talk to Rich and his lovely wife. And Rich is telling me he's an Eagles fan forever. He's from South Jersey, living in New York now, still an Eagles fan. Too many injuries, not enough big plays, should be winning more games. And then he goes, I even got into hockey when Eric Lindros came to Philly. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So we sit there for 2 hours. By the end of the night, Rich is buying us dessert martinis. I don't even know what they are, Joe, but they
nice
like dessert. Laura, the bartender there, was great. So if you're in New York or anybody, they should go to Pulpette, 71st and Columbus. I'd never been there before, a little gem in the middle of Manhattan. And I think next week I'm going to drive up to Boston, walk into an Italian restaurant, say Joe Stazak, and, you know, see what happens.
See if you get a seat by the window. That's too funny. Those guys are on my payroll, by the way, Steve. But I appreciate
it. That's a true story. You can't make that up.
Oh, that's funny, man. I appreciate it, brother. All right, well, here we are. We're at, game 14, Eagles and Skins. You saw how they eked one out against the Giants. They have practice squad guys left and right playing tomorrow. Robert Davis, his new cat, who ran a 4.44 at one point in his life somewhere out there. What do you make of tomorrow's game? I mean, this is setting up to be a showdown like we talked about a long time ago on our podcast, December 22nd, Eagles and Dallas. Yeah. But both teams have to do their part tomorrow. Can the Eagles get it done at Washington?
Well, I think the Eagles were lucky to play the Giants last week, and I think the Eagles are lucky to be playing Washington tomorrow. I mean, you know, once upon a time, you know this, Joe, you were 6-7. It was like, oh, can we be 8-8 this year, and maybe we can do better next year? But with the new, in all sports, wild cards, everybody makes the playoffs. You can win the, somebody didn't, Denver or somebody win at 7-9 once they won. You know, to me, it's ridiculous, but here we are, and I do think they beat Washington. I don't know how they beat Dallas, except Dallas. You know, I've heard all the comments about dysfunctional, and it's all true. I would say Dallas is the most underachieving team in the history of sports for, like, the last 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's incredible how they managed to lose with how good they are. And, you know, Jerry Jones will tell you about all the great draft picks that he's made over the years, more all pros than anybody. But they have no chemistry. I understand the coach is a big problem, but they have no chemistry and no ability to, like, win big games. It's really incredible. So I think they do win tomorrow. I disagree with you. I think they beat the Giants on the last day of the year. I mean, I don't even know what it matters anymore for the Giants. I'll say it again. They were lucky to be playing the Giants last week because I don't know how many teams in the league they would have beat last week given where they were. But again, they were the Giants. You know, you got to give Carson Wentz a little Joe Stazak clutch gene credit, not once but twice, for touchdowns, not field goals.
Right.
But I do think I think Washington is like always waving the white flag. You know, they need a new owner, not a new coach. I think you said they had nine coaches, or Les said they had nine coaches.
20 years under Dan Snyder.
So, you know, sometimes you got to look in the mirror, it seems to me. But I think they do get the job against Washington tomorrow, but I'm not sure how I see them beating Dallas. And remember, I'm the one who thought they could go to Dallas and beat Dallas, and they lost, what, 38-10 or whatever they lost by.
Sure.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it's what you said, still in the hunt. They're in the hunt, only not for a wild card, of course, but for the NFC East, so they still have a chance. And, you know, those are the rules. You just show up and play your schedule based on the rules. But I'll say it again, years and years ago, before all these wild cards and divisions and everybody makes the playoffs, they're a mediocre team. Dallas is a mediocre team. You are what your record says you are. So I still think they can get there, but it's really now a function of schedule. But they have to beat Dallas, and that's going to be very hard.
There is a number, and I did some research on this before the show, Steve, and I talked about how many times Carson Wentz throws the ball, because around this town, everyone's up in arms if they don't run the ball 25, 28 times a game. And there's some credence to that. You know, I crunched the numbers today. When he throws the ball 40 times or more, I'm talking about Carson Wentz, this year the Eagles are 1-5, and over his career, they're 3-14. Now, we know Doug Peterson likes to get away from the run game when it's not working. He likes his shiny toy in Carson Wentz. He thinks he's got an elite franchise guy there. He wants to use him. But they don't run the ball all that much. And now they're without Jordan Howard. So how much of a problem is that now with Carson Wentz? Probably, I mean, he threw 50 times against the Giants, and that's not a recipe for winning that often. How do you think it's going to affect this team tomorrow?
Well, the only thing I can say is they threw it 50 times last week and won, even though it was against the Giants. But the problem is, well, not only Howard, they have no Lane Johnson. Their offensive line isn't what it was. You know the historical record with and without Lane Johnson. That's like one of the scariest in football.
Yeah.
You'd think he's the MVP. And some people would argue a couple of years ago, right, that he was the MVP.
Yeah.
The year before their
Super Bowl
season.
Yeah.
And they were like great with him and horrific without him. So that's a big problem. I don't know if they can run the ball, but they might have to throw it. But I'll say it again. They were lucky to be playing the Giants last week. I think they're lucky to be playing Washington this week. And frankly, I'd be shocked if he doesn't throw it over 30 times, because I just don't think they're going to be able to generate the run game that you'd like them to have. And you can put a lot of this on injuries. But again, it wasn't like they were good before the injuries. And that's a problem. But I think they still have... The reason we liked them 4 or 5 weeks ago was what? It was really the schedule. It wasn't some incredible stream of play that was going to come on to put them on a 5-game winning streak. It was just the schedule. And don't forget, Dallas has a tough schedule. They can lose. You know, I mean, I like the Rams. I know you had a guy who said they're going to kill them, but the Rams are a Jekyll and Hyde team this year as well. They're not what they were last year. But I think they can certainly beat Dallas. And if it goes bad down there in Dallas early, it goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming back. They're just not that, call them what you want, dysfunctional, underachieving, mediocre. And then you look at the guys they have and you just shake your head. But that's what Dallas is. So I still think the Eagles, I think they'll beat the Giants in their third game from now, and they'll win tomorrow. I just don't know if they can beat Dallas, because I think the talent level, given all the injuries for the Eagles, is just awful far apart. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it next week, but got to get by this week first, but I think they can and will beat Washington.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
7-5, The Fanatic.
Well, the Skins aren't that good. We know that, although they have won 2 of 3. But you still have to go out and win the game. And we saw how they played against the Giants for 2.5 quarters. How do they win this game tomorrow?
Grind it out. Carson Wentz. Maybe you said, you know, take the, you know, let Carson Wentz beat Carson Wentz. Maybe he has to run a few times now. Maybe he should look to get out of the pocket. Maybe he should look to make something happen. I don't think he's going to have a lot of time. He might be getting out of the pocket because he has no choice.
Right.
But I wouldn't put it past him to bring back some of that athleticism, because you're right. Who's going to do it? Who are these guys? And, of course, you always come back to the hero last week, Zach Ertz, with the 2 late TD catches. And you're right, I still have no idea how he got so wide open. It's, like, scary to watch the replay of that play. It's like a street football game where everybody forgot to look at Zach Ertz, never mind pick him up. But he is the one, you know, he is the one guy. And if Washington has any sense, they'll double-team him the whole game, because that's what they should do. And then what are the Eagles going to do? But I think it lands on Carson Wentz's shoulders again. You know, he's been sub 500 since his what could have been MVP year. It's been disappointing. The numbers are the numbers. You know, everybody's got good numbers now if you're a quarterback. Very few quarterbacks don't have good numbers because it's the new world in football the last 5-10 years. But I think it's all on Carson Wentz's shoulders, and I think he's going to have to make some things happen on the run because I just don't think he's going to have a lot of time.
All right, switching gears, Steve. We have Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Last question before I let you go. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this in terms of the 76ers. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley. We talked about that a lot this week. They had comments on TNT about Joel Embiid and Jokic when he played against Denver. He only had 22 points, and he needs to do this, that, and the other thing. And they were pretty critical of Embiid, and Embiid kind of, you know, took it in stride and said, yeah, they're probably right. I need to be tougher. I need to impose my will. I need to do some more things. Since then, he had a 38-point game and a 24-point game, another win last night against New Orleans. What were your thoughts on those comments and how Embiid has responded to them?
I got a few thoughts. First of all, I'm sure there were days when you watched Shaq play or Charles Barkley play, and they just didn't quite have that, and you could have said the same thing about them, I'm sure. Don't tell me they brought it every night for 80 games every year for the whole careers. That's ridiculous. Having said that, I think they're right, but here's the problem I see with Embiid. Why do you need these guys to say something to get you motivated? The real super duper stars, you think anybody had to tell Michael Jordan, oh, Michael, you know, I think you better pick it up a little, or pick any one of those, you know, Kobe, pick any one of those guys, Oscar, because you know I'm going to give you an Oscar stat at some point, but any one of those guys, you think they had to hear criticism from other people to make them, oh, yeah, they're right, I'm going to play harder? No. You got to show up every day. You know, I know Embiid is like, he does a lot of commercials, he does a lot of social media, he likes to be a fun guy, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to be the best player, to me, you got to forget all that and have a little chip on your shoulder and play hard every day. You don't need someone. You need someone to tell you to prepare for your show, Joe. You need someone to get on your case to make you, what, try harder? Look, the guy's a tremendous talent. He's already a superstar. He could loaf and be a borderline superstar. And what they were saying is right. But having said that, you shouldn't have to have guys, even superstar Hall of Famers like those guys, say to you, oh, yeah, I think, you know, he's not dominant. He should really blah, 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 blah. And don't forget, those guys played in a different era. It's hard. He is dominant, but it's hard to really run your entire game plan through a center in today's NBA because you got to be throwing it out for threes because on those days when they're shooting threes really well and you're not, you're going to lose. I don't care what the guy does 5 feet from the basket. So it's a totally different game. But I think I'm most disappointed to hear that Embiid reacts to this stuff as opposed to having it within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Again, go ask guys like Kobe and Jordan. Did you ever hear from outside people and they made you play harder? I assume they just break out laughing. So I think it's still, he's still got to mature. He still should stop with all the histrionics and stuff, but that's just me. You know, I'm an old school guy, but look, he's a great player who could be greater. There's no doubt about it. And maybe this will get him, light him up a little, and maybe it'll be sustained through a whole season and the playoffs. But I'll say it again. The notion that people go 110% for 82 games in the modern NBA, I just don't believe that. And, you know, look at load management, for example.
No, you're totally right, my friend. But they are good at home, 14-0 at home. We'll see if Embiid can, I guess, continue to thrive off the outside criticism. He's gone from two Hall of Famers. Steve, you are my Hall of Famer, my friend. Tell everyone in the Upper West Side I said hello, and I'll catch him at some point, and we'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. I'll be texting you during the game tomorrow.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, Steve. Thanks, buddy. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.